Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 11th day of February, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is courage. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda Cumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan's all together with no spaces. So again, that is pastordan.net. We have a Daily Mail page there where we put links for updated information on what's going on in the world, especially for prepping and health issues. There's a home page, which is the very first page. That's where you find information to help us out with donation if you feel led to do so. And for the folks that do help us out, thank you very much, and Yahweh bless your heart. There's another page called Contact Us. That's where you get hold of me if you do not have my personal email and or phone number. Again, Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that's what we're attempting to do. Yahweh did not tell us to conquer Babylon. He said, get out of it. Okay, Babylon is serving a purpose. That's something a lot of our people don't seem to understand. Everything is under His control, okay? Nothing goes on this plane that is not under His control. So to give a entity that some people call Satan, the devil, whatever, authority or power that he can overcome us or our Father is ludicrous. This is His creation, His plan. Everything is according to His plan. And so He said, when you see this Babylonian system and it's touching you, it's afflicting you, it's persecuting you, then come out of it as a people. And remember, most of Scripture deals with the nation of Jacob Israel, not individuals. So even though the Father can deal with this on an individual basis, the Scriptures were dealing mostly with us as a people. The warnings were to us as a people. The admonitions on how to behave were us to us as a people. And so do not give the enemy so much credit, because they only have the power the Father gave them. They have the power to tempt us. They have the power to deceive us. They do not control us. And personally, I think a lot of what we conceive for them to have is in our minds mostly. It is a mental game. Remember, the motto of the Mossad is, thou shalt make war by deception. Okay, or thereabouts, as a paraphrase. But it's basically, they're going to make war on mankind, because the Jews believe they should rule this world. So they will make war on mankind using deception, because they don't have the power, okay? It's just like atomic weapons, okay? I watched them load atomic, what we were told were atomic bombs anyway. I used to watch them load four at a time on a B-52 bomber on the flight line when I was in the United States Air Force. And they were rather large for bombs, but not exceptionally large. And I used to walk by when they were loading them and look at my friends, and I said, you know, that doesn't look so impressive, really, even though back then we believed it was true. But we would watch them load them into the what we called alert aircraft. We always had two B-52 bombers on alert. And each one of them was loaded with nuclear weapons, or what we were told was nuclear weapons. Who knows? They could have been hollow tubes. Nobody would know. They could have had lead weights in them to make you think there was material in them. Nobody ever dropped one. Nobody ever saw one go off. And the point I'm trying to make is by deception, they keep us afraid. That's why I picked the topic for today is courage. Because it takes courage to take a stand against evil. It takes courage to take a stand against deception and lies. Because most of the sheep out there, they believe all this stuff. They believe the news media. They believe doctors and hospitals and people that get in front of the TV camera. I know that because in my own family, I've had people years ago, a long time ago, when I first started teaching identity, that it would say, well, if what you're teaching is true, it would be on television. They actually said that to me. If it was true, it would be on television. I was astounded. I looked at my relative and I said, are you kidding me? You don't understand that television and radio are controlled by a relatively few people? You don't understand that? They could not conceive. People born in the early 1900s, they could not conceive that television was evil, that they were being programmed, they were being lied to. But yet again, it takes courage. It takes the leading of the Holy Spirit. You have to reach out to the Father. That's the problem with today. Everybody wants to reach out to something other than our Father. It amazes me. I hear about different organizations, like we'll hear about White Hats. We'll hear about Good Guys, Good Actors, Gusara and Nasara, all these different things. And yet the one thing that I don't hear any of these so-called people wanting to correct things, the one thing I don't hear them talk about is our relationship to our Creator. Now, if I'm wrong, if you're hearing that from somebody, then please tell me. Pass it on to me. Go to the Contact Us page on PastorDan.net and send me a note. Tell me where I can go hear it, because I don't hear it. I spend every day doing the same things, every single day, watching many, many videos on many platforms, reading hundreds of pieces of mail, and sending out quite a bit of mail, trying to coalesce us all into a group that is searching for truth in a world of darkness. And when Scripture calls things dark, it means ignorant, okay? Not literally dark, because the sun's still shining, obviously, okay? When it's talking about darkness, it's talking about darkness of men's minds, ignorance, lack of knowledge of who we are, lack of knowledge of who our Father is, and our need for Him. We don't win, folks, without Him. And it takes courage to say that, because everybody's looking for, quote, a scientific or a medical breakthrough or a government issuance, a proclamation from our overlords, as if that's our salvation, or some candidate running. Are you kidding me? They're the ones that created all this. It's unbelievable. I was part of the tribute the other night to John Kaminsky. For folks that couldn't be there, it was a gathering of about 20, 21 people over a three-hour period. It was very fitting. And again, John was a warrior for truth. I sent out a lot of his material, but not all of it. If I read it and I did not agree with something he put in there, I would not forward it. If it was serious, if it was a minor thing, of course, then no, but there were times that he went off the rails in a direction I could not condone. But most of the time, that was not true. Most of the time, I forwarded his stuff because, again, John was a warrior to wake our people up to the most critical information for the day, and that's who is the arch enemy of mankind. We know who that is, the Jew. And here's the funny thing. People will say, well, are you anti-Jew or anti-Semitic? Well, no, I just listen to what they say. because we have reached near the end of this age, and they are literally insane. They are literally telling people that they belong in the control chair for this world. They are the supremacists. They are the rightful rulers of this world, and the rest of us are just their slaves and servants. They say it openly, and yet you still have morons running around calling them, quote, God's chosen people, or trying to tell you that Messiah was a Jew. I mean, it's really that ludicrous. It's that bizarre. We live in a bizarro world. It's unbelievable. Because people will not even accept what's in front of their face, the empirical evidence that's all around them. They do not want to accept that. They are trapped in dogma. They are trapped in the tradition of their elders. What does Scripture say about the tradition of your elders? Is it good things or bad things? Pick up the book and look, or go to your electronic one and do a word search. What does it say? It says, do not get trapped in the traditions of your elders. And a lot of the mainstream churches, their dogma is just that, tradition. It's not backed up by logic. It's not backed up by anything in history. And it's not even backed up with what we call our scriptures. That brings me to another point. How many times have we talked about the fact that your scriptures that you hold or you have on your shelf were given to you by the Catholic Church? Now let that sink in, okay? An organization that we have known has been infiltrated and taken control of almost from the beginning. That organization is what put together what you call your Bible today, okay? Again, let that sink in. They decided, these elders within the Roman Catholic Church decided what was fit to be put in your Bible. Where did that calling come from that made them so special that they knew what you could read and not read? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of scripture that history and empirical evidence and the Holy Spirit testifies to it being quite true. Okay? Is race mixing wrong? Thou shalt not adulterate? Absolutely. That fits with logic, science, eugenics, and common sense. And in the world of nature, it follows that rule. So, therefore, that one is verifiable. And that's why I try to tell people, when you read something in Scripture, if it's not verifiable in the world around you, you'd better put your thinking cap on and start remembering, who is it that put this document together? Where are the original manuscripts that they, quote, translated from? Have you ever looked at them? You'd be surprised how many of them no longer exist. You'd be surprised how many books are in your, quote, scripture that were pieced together with fragments, because whole books were not available, even when they did the original translation. It was pieces from here and pieces from there. And many of the original manuscripts, by the way, do not agree with each other. Ones that were written at different time periods, etc. Some of the copying, etc., over the ages, there were some discrepancies. Okay? And again, I'm not trying to tell you that every scripture is in error. No, it's not true, because I don't believe our Father would allow that. However, it does mean that we have to have the courage to stand up and say, well, wait a minute. Just because that's in your, quote, King James or Jerusalem Bible or Emphasized Bible, whatever, that does not make it necessarily so. It could have been a euphemism. It could have been an idiomatic expression from thousands of years ago. You have to be able to discern that. My famous one I always talk about is, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And for years, I used to marvel at that. Why would they Why would somebody compare getting into heaven to a camel going through a little tiny needle, the eye of a needle where you put the thread? That doesn't even make sense. A camel can't go through there, obviously. So you're saying a rich man has absolutely no chance. That's not what it meant, okay? The eye of the needle was the little narrow personnel gates that were around the city of Jerusalem, where people could go through, but animals and carts and wagons and things like that could not. They were just narrow. A camel could get through there if it was skinny enough and you took all the goods off of its back, etc. You could get through there. So, in other words, it took work. You'd have to get rid of your, quote, excess baggage, but you could get through. So does that make more sense than thinking about a sewing needle? That's my whole point. If you understand the idiomatic expressions of the day, then the Bible makes a lot more sense. The Holy Spirit makes more sense. Everything makes more sense. Okay, just like thou shalt not commit adultery. That doesn't even make sense because you have a commandment that further down that talks about not coveting your neighbor's property, which the wife of your neighbor is his property in the biblical sense. She belongs to him. He looks after her, protects her, furnishes her with food and clothing and education, fathers her children and protects those children and raises them, etc. She's his, quote, property in that sense, not to abuse her, but he's responsible for her. So you already have a commandment for that, then why the heck would adultery mean that you can't sleep with a married woman? It doesn't even make sense. However, when you understand that oik mukesus in the Greek language of the Septuagint means you don't mongrelize, okay, now, does it not make more sense? Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. Don't mongrelize. Don't mix. Don't adulterate. Don't hybridize. And yet our world's full of hybrid. We actually sit there and go, oh, look at this, what is it, a tangangelo or tangerine or whatever they came up with by mixing two different fruit. Okay? They're constantly doing that. Oh, look at this juice. It's the juice of these two different fruits. We merge the plants together. Is that by nature? No. Does Yahweh look down and bless that? No. Hybrid seeds, same thing. Well, we're going to make wheat that grows taller and produces more grain, so we make more money. Yeah, and it also has very little nutrients in it. Most of your hybrids have very little nutrients in it. That's why you have to eat so much of it to get the vitamins and minerals you need. And that's why so many people are carrying 50, 60, 70 extra pounds. See, the problems we have aren't difficult, but it takes courage to stand up and say, you know, we really shouldn't be doing that. I'll tell you one that's taken a lot of courage for me, and that's talking to people about their pets. I'm going to tell you, people have an unhealthy attraction, in this day and age anyway, to pets. Okay, and why do I say it's unhealthy? Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong to have a pet. I'm not saying that. But it's unhealthy when the pet, the affection for the pet, and the pet replaces human affection and human relationships, which is what's happening today. And we could go on about that for a long period of time. But it takes courage to talk about that because it's an emotional issue. Okay? But does it need to be talked about? Sure it is, because everything on this earth is to be done according to his law. And his law says don't mix kinds. And yet in America today, it's hard to find a thoroughbred dog or cat. Because again, human beings get involved, and next thing you know, there's interbreeding going on like crazy. Why? Because man has got involved. And I've heard it even from my friends and relatives. Oh, isn't this cute? I've got a Cocker Spaniel mixed with a Jack Daniels, or not Jack Daniels, Jack Russell. Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter. And everybody walks around thinking it's cute. Is it cute in the eyes of our Creator? Okay, let's just take for a minute. Now, I'm sitting here. I'm the creator. I'm looking out over my creation. I put everything here the way it's supposed to be. And here you come walking up with this mixed creature. Oh, look, isn't it cute? My first thought was, what are you doing? Why did you allow this to happen? Okay, now take that and transfer that same scenario over. Now you walk up to the father and go, oh, look, my daughter married this Negro down the street. Look at the, aren't they cute? I've actually had people say that. Aren't these mixed breed children? Aren't they cute? Cute? They're monsters. All right? Scripture calls them monsters. Mamzers is another term which translates roughly to bastards. But they're monsters. Why is that? Why would a loving father have such a term for children that had no say in what happened? Because that's his creation. He's allowed to do that. You've created something he did not authorize you to do. You have created monsters. It becomes a plague upon all mankind. As in the scripture where it talks about Phinehas and what he did to stop the plague. It's referred to as a plague when men get involved in race mixing. Women too, but the men are some of the worst. Some of the worst in my days. It's sad to say that there were many times that men used to have a saying, any port in a storm, all right? As if that allowed them to do something that our father condemned. In fact, our father calls it an abomination. But because the man feels he has the right to do whatever he wants to do, he does it anyway. It's bad enough that he gets involved in that, but then he creates children, which is a worse offense, believe it or not. It's bad enough that he had relations with another race, but then he produces offspring. Now you've created an abomination. Now you've created a monster. And here's the problem with that, okay? Many of these people doing that, they don't stick around to raise that child. That child becomes your problem and my problem because they have mental issues. They have physical issues. They will be a drain on your police and your courts and your prisons because many of them turn to violence and to crime. If you don't believe me, go look at the most wanted violent crime mugshots in your state. And tell me how many of those mugshots aren't of a creature of mixed race. Back when I first learned this message and this truth, having read Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues, I went and I looked at the mugshots for the states around me in New England. And sure enough, he was right. At least 95% of the mugshots were creatures that were not even identifiable what they were because they were mixes of two, three, four races. And so, what are they? Do you see my point? It takes courage to stand up and say, we're going the wrong way. Wake the hell up. This journey on this earth, it's not all about your joy and your pleasure and doing whatever the hell you want to do. That's not the purpose. Yes, we should experience love. We should know parenthood. We should know joy. But not at the expense of our Father. Not at the expense of His law. That is the problem. And people need to figure it out that, especially now, with coming close to the end of this age and the absolute insanity we see going on around us. How much of that insanity is due to a total disregard of our Father and His law? Almost all of it. Almost all of it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, one of my favorite. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For Yahweh your Elohim God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Does he go with us wherever we go? Sure as hell does. Yeah. Thank goodness he does. Because again, we find ourselves in a cesspool today. This world is a complete cesspool. From top to bottom. The people in our government, they are the worst of people. That's why we live in kakistocracies and kleptocracies. They are both imbeciles, cretins, but they're also thieves. So both terms apply. They're like a ravenous beast. What scripture say of the beast? It roams the countryside like a wild animal looking for victims to devour. What are governments doing today? Devouring our sustenance, devouring our liberties, devouring our freedoms, devouring our health, devouring our food and water and air, polluting all of it, therefore devouring it. So you better have Father on your side if you want to get through this thing. We are to be overcomers. How do you overcome in this sick, demented world we find ourselves in? You overcome it by two things. One, you reach out to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Reach out and bring him into your life. That is an act of courage because you're admitting that you're not all there is. You're not a narcissist that thinks the world revolves around you. It takes courage to admit that you're imperfect and you need help, especially us men. You know, a lot of men, oh, I don't need any. Yeah, you do. I hate to tell you, but yes, you do. We all do. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how tall you are, how much muscle you got on you. Doesn't matter. You need that extra. This is where the racialist groups get it wrong. Does race matter? Well, of course it matters. But is it the end of all things? No, it's not. It's not just a racial thing. This is a spiritual battle. You're up against powerful forces. And when I go to the field of battle, I don't go alone. The Father goes with me, or I don't go. The Father goes with me, and therefore I'm guaranteed victory over my enemies. Granted, I personally might not make it through, but we as a people will make it through. But you have to have the courage to admit that that is what we need. We don't need more laws. We don't need politicians. We don't need bankers. We don't need drugs. We don't need entertainment. We sure as hell don't need sports. And we sure as hell don't need that electronic toilet in our house. Those are all things that our adversaries use to bring us down. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. How many of our people are seriously missing in the self-control part? They're walking all around us. You can see it. So we have power, love, and self-control. I do like the memes going out there right now that says you can't truly love somebody unless you're willing to hate. You know, the church world, the fake church world, the business we call Christianity or churchianity is all about preaching love, love, love. That's all they talk about. And they tell you that, well, Christ didn't hate, therefore you can't hate. Well, first of all, yeah, Yeshua did hate. That's a lie. To say that he did not hate, did not have anger and righteous indignation is an absolute lie. We, as his sons and daughters, we exhibit the same things that the Father himself have. We have righteous indignation. The problems in this world are because we are no longer following his footsteps, where we take that righteous indignation and put it into action, because the church world has castrated the men. It's kind of funny. I actually had a Methodist senior pastor tell me that many years ago. I won't go into the details of why I was talking to him about certain personal issues, but he made the statement. He goes, Daniel, the reason that you're having the trouble you're having, and I was in my 20s at the time, he said, you're having those troubles because you have been mentally castrated. So some of these mainstream denominations understand some of these things, but they don't have the courage to speak it, because they are more concerned with church attendance than they are with teaching truth. So was he correct? Was I being mentally castrated? Yeah, I was. And so are most of the men today, starting from the time you're a little boy. And especially for the men who have suffered what we call circumcision. That is not a sign of your devotion and belonging to Yahweh God. I'm sorry, but it's not. And whoever's telling you it is a liar and a deceiver. You can hate me for that if you want. I really don't care. Mutilation of such a very private and important part of a boy at that age especially is traumatic and it's evil. Okay? Simply put, it is evil. We could do a whole sermon on what circumcision or the blood rituals in ancient times were actually about. And what we practice on our boys today is not what our ancestors did. Case in point, our Father creates perfection. He creates a beautiful, pristine world around us. And if you're going to stand there and tell me that the creator of this beautiful world and us as his children and our relationships and those beautiful babies that come from our ladies, if you're going to tell me his desire is for you to mutilate that boy, I'm going to tell you you're dumber than a box of rocks. Okay? Between you and me, you really are dumber than a box of rocks. How in the hell do you justify that? Case in point. Again, what you do about what I tell you is your business. I'm just here to tell you what I know. Our Father does not condone that. It's a practice that is evil, 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 and should be stopped immediately. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God, Yahweh himself, who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for Yahweh. You know, that's where we are today, too, and it takes courage to do that. It takes commitment to the Father. Because I've had so many young men are itching for battle. They're so sick of what they see going on. It's how long do we have to wait? How long? And I keep telling people, because I've had a lot of people contact me, and it's almost like they think that I'm in charge. the way they talk to me anyway. I'm not saying I am in charge, but I'm saying that they talk to me as if I'm in charge. And I'm constantly telling folks, no, no mortal man is in charge. Our Father in heaven is in charge. This is his plan, his logos in the Greek. This world, you and I, what we're doing here, are all part of his plan. And is there a day when he will manifest the sons of the Most High, and they will become a flame and a fire and destroy the wicked upon this earth? Absolutely. Do I pray for it every day? Absolutely. I wish it was today. But I also know it's not my call. My job is to do what he puts before me, and so is yours. Do what you can do with what our Father has given you, with the tools he's given you and the opportunities he's given you. You do what you can for yourself, for your loved ones, and for our race. And that, in turn, will make this a better world. Because some people say, well, that sounds like white supremacy. Well, you call it whatever the hell you want. I don't care. We bring Father's law to this world. That's our history. Go look at history. Who else has done it? We live his law, and we preach his law, and we enforce his law, which brings true prosperity and justice on the earth. That's the only thing that will do it. No man-made government, no group of corporations or bankers are ever going to do it. Our Father and his sons, who do not yield the sword in vain. I should say wield the sword. Do not wield the sword in vain. That is what's going to bring about change. That is what is going to take the wicked and put them where they belong. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. We've said it for many years now. We have a lot of males in our societies all around the world. We have a lot of males, but we don't have very, very many men. You ever notice that? I look at some of these guys walking down the street where I live here, and I'm not sure what they are. I have to do a double take sometimes to know if it's a male or a female. And that goes both ways. Some of the females dress and act and walk and talk more like men. And the men, some of the things I see they wear and things they do to themselves, well, they're not actually men. The males, I should say. The males. It just makes me scratch my head and go, what in the world is going on? Unbelievable. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for Yahweh. So, again, double witness. We wait for him. He's the commander in chief. Don't be looking for men to make those decisions. Or if you are looking for a man to say something, you better make sure it's Yahweh that he answers to and not his own ambitions or greed or anything else. Whoever you choose as your leaders must be led by the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father alone. No ulterior motives. No hidden agendas, no loyalties to bankers, corporations, or institutions. No, 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 no. That's how we got where we are. We turned off our logic. We turned off our ability to have discernment. We turned off our vigilance, as our founding fathers said. Eternal vigilance is the cost of freedom. We forgot about that. Instead, we were eternally watching our televisions, eternally eating too much food, eternally drinking too much alcohol or smoking too much weed, whatever. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Hallelujah. Again, when you walk with the Father, you're a unique individual. You're not the run-of-the-mill woman or man upon this earth. You're going to be way different, way different. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. This is King David talking to Solomon. Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh God, even my Elohim, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of Yahweh is finished. And that goes for us as a people on this earth. Yahweh has a purpose for the Adamic man and woman. The enemy thinks they're going to wipe us out. And if they can't wipe us out, they're going to adulterate our DNA and our genetic makeup, etc., to where there's nobody left for the Father to come back to. That's the only way they can win, by the way. Our enemy knows who we belong to. They know Yahweh's for real. They know that. They don't want you to know that, but they know that. That's why they work tirelessly to keep you afraid and to keep you confused and off guard. They work tirelessly to pollute your genetics, again, so there are no true children. They work tirelessly to get you into race mixing, so again, it's polluted offspring. Therefore, no need for return. And the sons of our adversaries get to have the hell on earth that they want. That's why they do the outlandish and imbecilic things that they do today. They want this world to be purely hell because this is all they get. And so they want it to be as much like hell as they can possibly get because they revel in that. Where we revel in beauty and consistency and pleasures that are not immoral and in the beauty of relationships and people and our offspring and our in the animal world and vegetable, we take joy in those things because they are of our Father, because we are of Him. They are not. That's where people get it wrong. They think, oh, they got two arms and two legs and a head. They probably think like we do. No, they don't. They're not of you. In the book of John, chapter 8, in the Greek language, he speaks of the Jews as if they sprang from an alien race, that there was nothing in common between the disciples and Yahshua and them. That is the writings of the Apostle John, the beloved one, Yochanan, beloved of Yahweh. They sprang from an alien race. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and the staff? That is the tool, we shall say, of a shepherd. It was used to rescue the sheep when they went the wrong way or got caught in a ravine or whatever. The hook would go around their necks and help, or their bodies if they're small enough, and help pull them to safety. But the other end of the rod was to beat away coyotes and wolves and predators. So our Father does both for us, and we should do it for each other as well. That's our job. That's what we're here for. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. In other words, what do you mean, make straight my paths? Yeah, have you ever gone through wilderness? I have. I'm going to tell you, you're going through a undeveloped or uncleared part of the woods. It's not easy. There's vines everywhere and sticker bushes and thorns and all kind of stuff. It's not easy. And sometimes there's a path through there and it's crooked, taking you all all different places, trying to get around all the obstacles. So when the Bible says he will make straight your paths, he's talking about an easier way through this world. You can't lean on your own understanding, folks. None of us can, because none of this makes sense to us. Particularly people that have gone through hardship. Why would a loving God allow death and cancer and wars? And a loving God didn't do all that. We did it. Man did it. Just because he didn't stop it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. It's no different than our children. I watched 6 children grow up of mine. Did they all do what I wanted them to do? No, sadly. Did they all follow Scripture and love Yahweh? No. Did they do the best in school? No. Are they best people? No. Okay. Did I create them out of love? Yeah. Do I love them as a father? Yeah, I do. Do I condone what they do? No, I don't. So why is it so hard to conceive of our Heavenly Father the same way? He created us. That's true. He loves us, wants us to do right. But he doesn't come down and create this cancer and war and all. That's us. That's all on us. All on us. And praise Yahweh, again, that joy came through the operation successfully. Praise Yahweh. That's nothing to take for granted in this day and age. So we're very happy that prayers were answered, and it was the Father's will that she come through. Just as we pray for these things in our life, but it's his will. Every prayer should contain, if it's thy will, Father Yahweh, your will be done, not my own. People just don't get that right. People just don't get it right. He has a plan. Our job is to fit into that plan. Our job is to take direction and do as he commands us. Live each day for him, for ourselves, and for our people, to make this a better world, to leave it in a better place than we found it. We have dropped the ball in that area completely. The white race today is a shadow of what we were just 100 or so years ago. Just a shadow. We've completely abandoned who we are and what we are, chasing after Jewish shekels. Electronic ones at that, not even real. Chasing after Jewish shekels and Jewish acclamation in their publications, or getting on their Jewish-controlled electronic toilets, or taking part in their Jewish-controlled sporting programs. And by the way, for the men out there, or the males, I should say, that are all in love with all these sports, you do know the sports, all the sports are controlled by them. If you haven't figured that out yet, you really should. John 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. As we go through this world full of tribulation, can you overcome the things that the enemy is doing to us? Yeah, you can. Okay. Since March of 2020, so we're coming up on the 4th anniversary of this scamdemic. So for the past 4 years, I know I've never put a mask on. I know quite a few other people never put a mask on, not once. I didn't put one on to go anywhere, to do anything. So is it possible to do it, to get through it? Yeah. Now, was there some tribulation involved? Was there some lack of, let's say, getting on a bus or going to a movie theater or going to the beach or whatever? Yeah. For the past 4 years, I gave up all that stuff. Well, I can't do that, Dan. I like to go out with the guys and pound down some beers and look at the pretty girls and chase and dance with them. And oh, I can't give that up. Oh, I wanted to go see a relative. I had to get on an airplane. Or I wanted to go across the country. I had to get on a train or a bus. Oh, I had to do it. Really? You had to do it? I don't know. From where I'm sitting, that's not a had-to-do thing. Well, Dan, to expect people to change jobs or give up retirements or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. The Father expects it, and so do I. Yeah. Yeah, you change jobs. Well, you got a pension. There's no guarantee that pension's going to be there, by the way. For the folks out there who thought they were going to save their job and keep a pension, how many of you still have it? I know plenty of people, even before the scandemic, worked their whole life for Toledo Edison or some other power company and get up to their time of their retirement and find out their pension wasn't there. Or for some lame excuse, they were fired just before they reached the point in time where they were entitled to it. And it's gone. It's an illusion. I even have family members put that poison in their arms to keep their jobs. Was it worth it? No, they're miserable. Not to mention they have quite a few health problems. Is any job worth it? No, it's not. Not at the cost of your health, not at the cost of your soul, who you are, what you are. Nothing on this earth is worth it. What did Yeshua say? If you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. Isn't that what he said? What do you think it means? Let that sink in. If you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. So, putting a poison in your body, is there anything on earth worth that? No, because it's an insult to the Father. You have allowed something that does not belong in the temple, the holy temple, which is your body, because the Holy Spirit resides in that temple. Now, for the folks who succumbed, there are things to do to mitigate what was done to you. That's a whole different topic for a whole different day. Or reach out to me and I'll put you in touch with people. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not Yahweh. I can't go in and look at somebody's DNA, and I can't tell exactly what's what when it comes to that stuff. Because, to be honest with you, why take the chance? I've had some people say, well, there's nothing that can be done for those people. That might be true, which means I got loved ones that aren't going to make it. It might be true, but I also don't know for sure that it's not true. There are things to do if you stop listening to the beast and cleanse your body and do the things that can detoxify your body. I do not know that it can't be done. I'm talking about me personally. I can't say. There may be people out there that think they do know. Well, that's fine. I'm just telling you what I personally know. That's why I err in my life. I try to err on the side of conservatism, which means if I'm not sure, then I'm not going to take a chance. So my decision was easy. No mask, no jabs, no consent. Not going to do it under any circumstances. Some people said, well, what if they threaten to kill you? What if they shut off your supply of food and you starve? Well, okay, those things can happen. It's happened in the past. Look how many Ukrainians were starved to death by the Jewish Bolsheviks in Russia 100 years ago. Millions. Tens of millions of innocent men, women, and children starved to death. And we allowed it to happen. We kept Joseph Stalin in power. Communism would always die on its own if it wasn't for Western money supporting it, which means that Western white men and women supported keeping that beast alive. Millions died horrible deaths. God didn't do it. Satan didn't do it. Mankind did it. Your adversaries walk in shoe leather, folks, in spite of what the church world tells you. Your adversaries sometimes even look like you. They can come from your own household. Does not the scripture even say that? Sometimes your worst enemies will be somebody from your own house. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in Elohim God, whose word I praise, in Elohim God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Amen. What can flesh do to you? What can some cretin like Anthony Fauci or Deborah Birx or some other piece of dog meat and flesh? What could they do to you? They didn't even have to do anything to you. They got in front of a boob tube and told everybody there was a disease called COVID, a virus, which there is no proof exists. It's just waste material of cells. And yet people bought it. Lies and deception. People bought it because he had a lab coat on and a stethoscope. And they, oh, he's the head of NIH. What the hell does that mean? You see, a real person of courage would have said, I'm not going to listen to that idiot. But other people just fell for it. Oh, whoa, he's got credentials. Oh, he's on a television. Oh, President Trump brought him and paraded him out there. Who, again, is a Trojan horse amongst us. All of them are, by the way. Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. The wicked, these males, these soy boys out here, they go along with whatever the status quo is. It's pitiful to watch. They don't have the courage to stand up and go, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put my hair up in a bun. I'm not going to put makeup on. I'm not going to do a sex change. I'm not going to put a poison in my body. You people can go to hell. It takes courage to do that because you've got to stand against the crowd. Just as Yahshua told us to do, we have to be a light in a sea of darkness. You're a beacon. You're a touchstone. You're a biblical representative to this world around us that's swimming in a cesspool of lies and deception. Ugly. Everywhere you look, it's ugly. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yes. Yes. Have strength. Have courage. Philippians 1:28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from Elohim God. Okay? Do not be frightened in anything by your opponents, your adversaries. Satan, if you want to call them that. Diablos, devil, if you, whatever. They're adversaries. In shoe leather. Shoe leather. I have a whole lot more I could give you, but I'm going to cut it short for there. You get the point. These are perilous times, folks. And when it said there's a great shaking in the heavens and the earth, you know, it was talking about political and sociological type upheaval. And we're certainly living in it. I do want to remind everybody that the Wednesday night chats, we are back to hosting them on Wednesday nights, and we usually get into some pretty lively discussions, so we invite everybody to join us. It's a family affair, the family of Yahweh, and it's completely open forum, no censorship. Everybody is welcome. We do want to thank the Father that shills that used to come and try to disrupt broadcasts and all have sort of disappeared over the last couple of years. For a long time there, they would try to disrupt things, and they've sort of disappeared. So knock on wood, praise Yahweh for that. I think the enemy realizes that they can't stop what's coming. Okay, they're beginning to realize that their end is near. So their insanity and their anger is going to grow quite strong. So be on your guard for almost anything over the next, well, possibly less than a year. Certainly maybe 4 or 5 months from now, significant events are going to happen. But these are not events that the children of Yahweh need to fear. These are the events that are necessary to bring down this Babylonian system. So you're going to see dramatic changes in this world. And they should not bring fear into your heart. They should bring joy, because it is a sign of the Father saying, this has to end. This insanity, this madness, this criminality and degeneracy need to go away, much like Obadiah at verse 18 talks about, and Malachi at verse 4, or I mean chapter 4. All right? These things must come to an end. All things come to an end. This tribulation, this sick, demented world is going to come to an end, and you best be prepared for it. Mentally, physically, and spiritually, be prepared for major changes. We live in a world that is not what our Father created. Therefore, it will go away, and you need to be prepared for that. In fact, I would say that his sons and daughters, we should be praying for that change. What is it that this world gives us that we actually need? Oh, you got fancy cars that talk to you, and sometimes they'll even drive for you, and they got all kind of toys to distract you, but do you actually need those things? No, you don't. In fact, they are a curse. In their own way, they are a curse. They make you dependent on a system that is evil at the very core. Their intention is not to make you a better man or woman, to make your relationship with our Creator better, or to have a better outcome. No, it is simply merchants trying to make money and to keep you enslaved in their system. And when you break free of that, when you mentally disengage from their system, it hurts them. And then if you actively take courage and fight that system and work for its destruction, that really bothers them. They turn up the fear porn really high then, always trying to make you be afraid. And yet, what is the end? The end is that we leave here and go home. That's your end. You get to leave here and go home. Be with loved ones. Be around peace and joy and tranquility and honor, things that are woefully missing from this world. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We just pray that those that are meant to hear the words do hear them, that they have an effect. We pray for you to lift us up as we stand against this tide of insanity that has swept across this world. Give us strong hearts and a strong backbone that we can stand tall and have courage to speak your truth to to this sick, sick world. Watch over your people, Yahweh. We pray it be your will that you would give them pureness of heart, give them sound mind, good sleep, good rest. Help them find the good foods, the good water, and help them in their desire to bring about your kingdom on this earth and to come out of this Babylonian system, that we might live in a parallel economy, parallel communities, parallel social structure, parallel court system that operates under your law as we turn our backs to Babylon and all of its enticements, which lead to enslavement and misery in the long run. To that end, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.